let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle today. Father John, welcome back. Good to see you.
Again, glad to be here.
Yes, it's not a great day outside, kind of cloudy, and today we're going to talk about
cloudiness.
Something dark. Yes, so it's a kind of a continuation of the story that we started in the last podcast,
right?
About Joseph,
mm-hmm.
and his how he was sent to the dungeon and his feelings that he was having there. And in this one, we're going to really focus on what you call his dark night of the soul.
Yeah,
where God sort of disappears
yeah.
from his life.
Yeah, in the last post, I just discussed the whole phenomenon of the dark night of the soul in a general way,
right.
And now we want to get into the text.
Yeah.
So we have Joseph, and this is a very interesting chapter. It has that chiastic structure we've talked about before.
Yes, and these where things are stepped. There's a certain number of events that occur that are the main ones, and then there's a central
thing, right?
That happens, and then there's some prime ones that match the ones
exactly.
that happened before, right?
That's so, right. Yes. That's right. Yeah.
So chiastic, yeah.
We have Joseph meets the cupbearer and the baker in prison. That's in verses 1 through 4. Then we have Joseph's inquiry into the anxiety of these two men. Of course, the prison is a place of anxiety. They've lost favor with the Pharaoh, and that's never a safe situation.
Right. Yeah, of course. You could get hurt pretty quick.
That's right. And then they have dreams. The cupbearer has a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's another link to his past, because he was a dreamer himself, right?
Yeah, and interpreted his own.
Right.
Dreams. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also sets up what's going to happen in the future with Pharaoh's dream. So dreams are so important in the story. And in, again, the whole Old Testament and the New Testament, their dreams are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take them seriously.
Yeah. And that's a lot of foreshadowing for things that are going to continue to happen
right.
with Joseph. Yeah.
Right. I mean, think about St. Joseph, the dreamer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 So we have a positive interpretation for this cupbearer, because Joseph says, hey, you know, in 3 days or whatever, I can't remember exactly, you're going to be serving Pharaoh again, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Joseph's request, and it's dead in the middle.
Right.
What's so fascinating about this request is that it's the first and only time, really, apart from his revealing to the brothers and showing his emotion, and you get a feel for him and what he's thinking, right?
Yeah.
But here is the only time that we know what's going on inside of Joseph's head. In the whole story, it's always Joseph, you're looking at him from the outside, and you have no idea what he's feeling about things.
Yeah. Yeah, you just hear about what he does.
We have to interpret it. So, okay, Joseph, when he's a boy, he's got this wonderful coat, he's favorite, but still you don't know what he thinks about it.
Yeah,
we have to interpret it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he's thrown into the pit, we really don't know what he thinks about it. So everything, he's observed from outside.
Yeah.
But here we have him revealing his deepest fears.
Yeah, sure.
And so we'll get to that in a minute. And then the baker's dream and interpretation, which parallels the cupbearer's dream and interpretation. And this is not so positive.
Yeah, this guy, he doesn't win with his.
He doesn't win, right.
Joseph's interpretation. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then you had the dream fulfillment, which parallels at the beginning where you have Joseph inquiring into the anxiety of the two men, right? And then finally, it ends with a cupbearer forgetting Joseph.
Right, yeah. Joseph really asks him heartfelt requests.
That's right. And let me read it, okay? He says, "But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For in fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." Okay, so here you got a plea, a cry,
mm-hmm.
almost like a primal thing. You know, he's at his wit's end, right?
Yeah, right.
And then we have, well, he forgot, and for two whole years he's forgotten.
Okay. Yeah. Ugh.
Now, in the previous chapter, he got into trouble with, you know, it said Yahweh was with him when he was in Potiphar's house. And even at the beginning of his prison experience, he was with him.
God was still with him, yeah.
Yeah, right, right. In this chapter, there's no mention of Yahweh being with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he wasn't, but it's a literary device.
Yeah.
For a careful reader to realize how Joseph must have felt.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm abandoned. And we talked about the dark night of the soul. It's something that is deeply spiritual. It is something that only God brings somebody into, and it's something that only God can get you out of.
Yeah, sure.
And it's because he had a big job for him to accomplish, a big mission, and it demanded this purging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so Joseph would get down to the place that was his lowest place.
Mm-hmm. Bedrock.
And begin to see God,
and God
for
reveals,
who God is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So let's talk a little bit also about this whole idea of this term, the dark night. It's thrown around a lot. And often I think we humans experience a night, so to speak, that's brought on by our own anxieties over life.
Yeah, sure.
And when you think about anxieties, what are you when you're anxious? You're not trusting God,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
So you almost think that the opposite of trusting God is anxiety. And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think so, Danny?
Sure, yeah, I think so. And when you were talking about this in the post on ancienthopes.org, at the bottom you had some questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions was, have you ever experienced this?
Right.
And I thought about that and I thought, no. I never have experienced this. And one of the things that I thought about was all these times in my life where I was anxious, where I was really hurt, or where I was down about my life, but God was still there.
Right.
You know, and so I can really see the difference. You know,
and this is the fight of faith, and it's the struggle of faith.
Sure.
But it's not the dark night of the soul.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Again, the dark night of the soul is when God turns the light out. You could be full of faith. Matter of fact, most people are. They're full of faith. They have all these consolations from God, and things are just going real, you know, I'm spiritual, that sort of thing. And then, boom, the lights go out.
Yeah.
For however long God wants those lights to be out.
For however long
it
takes.
You to the point where when you get out of it, he's purged you from spiritual pride. And you realize deep down in your soul, you're not better than anybody else.
Right, yeah. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Worgel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the ancienthopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
God wants those lights to be out.
For however long it takes.
To purge you to the point where when you get out of it, he's purged you from spiritual pride. And you realize deep down in your soul, you're not better than anybody else.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, in St. John of the Cross, I'm not sure if I talked about that, but he had like 9 months of this. Okay. But his is far more intense. What I talked about, I mean, I don't even want to even begin to compare,
right,
you know, yeah. Even though mine was 7 years, but his was 9 months, but he was trying to reform his order.
Oh.
And no good deed ever goes unpunished.
Right.
Because the people in his order didn't want it to be reformed. He was called a discalced. That means he went around barefoot. He lived a very austere life. And he said, this is the only way that you can really get the heavenly consolations that all our souls really long for.
Oh, wow.
But in his day, a quarter of the population were in convents or in monasteries. 1 out of 4 people.
Wow.
And that's because they could be fed and everybody was,
oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a, you know, who wants to go out in the fields? Well, they had to work hard, obviously, but, you know, at least you have that security. And things get lax when you've got these teeming monasteries and what have you. Same thing with Teresa of Avila. I mean, she herself was lax for, you know, a long time. You know, so St. John of the Cross, you know, what his superior did is in Toledo, he locked him up in this little hole of a room in a tower, okay, somewhere.
Wow.
With a little slit so you could see the sky a little bit. Oh, I don't, you know, if I remember it, you know. And they took him out once a day for a beating.
Oh, my gosh.
And all his brother monks whacked him with some sort of a whip.
And this was all to try and change his mind.
Trying to change his mind. Oh. And he was starving. He was about ready to die. And then God showed him a way out. And so that's a whole interesting thing you got to read about sometime.
Gosh, yeah.
But it was in there that he wrote the poem, The Dark Night of the Soul.
Wow.
Okay, so it was in that night that God visited him, right?
Mm.
So you have to differentiate that from emotional turmoil.
Right.
Okay. Because when we're in anxiety, we're not trusting God, and our emotions are in turmoil, and things get really, really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who, you know, when they go home, they're alone, and things turn black.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, sort of self-medicate themselves then, you know, with drugs, with booze or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Or just in losing themselves in their screens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which only makes the spiritual darkness deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then they cry out, well, where is God? Well, okay, you know.
Well, there's a recognition, I think, at that point. I mean, in my life, there was a recognition that God has always been there. God didn't turn me off. You know,
right.
God didn't move away from me.
We're the ones that moved away
that's
from
right.
him.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's what I had to realize when I was thinking about this question.
And so that's an emotional darkness, okay? But even, Danny, even in that, when we're God's children, the secret is this, and this is something that people don't really recognize, and that is Jesus is just on the other side of the darkness.
Mm.
And if we work through our emotions.
Yeah.
And we work through our emotions with repeating the Psalms, the Psalms of trust. The Psalms really are beautiful because they pretty much describe every sort of human emotion, you know. And you know, again, emotions are good, okay?
Yeah, right, sure.
But when the emotions are taking over, they're bad.
Yeah, when they're out of balance.
Yeah, right. And so the way to do this, I mean, it was very interesting. When I was single, I remember that I started feeling down, maybe on a Friday night or something like that, you know, and everybody else doing this or that, right?
Yeah.
And having fun and stuff like that. And here I am, you know. But in the silence, I would push through because Yahweh's just on the other side of the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then once you penetrate the darkness and find Yahweh on the other side, then you're elated. And then your emotions are positive.
Yeah. And you're in the light.
You're in the light.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, you look back and say, what was all that about?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a realization that I was in a funk or whatever, but God was always there.
That's right.
And God is here. God is with me.
And that's
back
the difference
again.
Between a true dark night, because when you're in your dark night, you try to penetrate the darkness and you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot.
Well, because God is creating the darkness.
Because God created it. But when we are with a darkness, which of our own creating, then we really can fight our way through it.
Yeah.
And God wants us to, because when we fight our way through it, we become strong.
Oh, yeah.
Because God shows himself strong, and you have a track record with regard to that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like that not dark night of the soul, but just a darkness that's in your life that you can fight your way through, that is kind of similar to the dark night of the soul, but there's a realization.
The feelings are the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a realization once you get through it.
Right.
That you did this, not God did this. And there's still benefit for both things. Like dark night of the soul, there's a benefit because there's a true realization of your own humility and who God needs to be in your life. In those short times when it's not the dark night, but just some kind of depression or whatever
right.
that you have to fight your way through, there is a realization on the other side of that, and there is a strength that comes from that. So
that's right. And all of us who struggle the fight of faith have to do that.
Yeah, right.
And you're right.
Over and
it's
over.
It's almost like a necessary thing for us to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because it strengthens mm-hmm. my faith, and it helps me to understand where I am, you know, in my faith life.
It
helps me to realize that there's a direction, you know, that
right,
I can move
right.
in.
But, you know, things are even more complicated than that, because there are medical issues that could be involved as well.
Oh, sure.
Okay. It could be that chemicals like serotonin or whatever is not sufficient.
Balanced correctly.
Yeah, and there's this balancing, you know, which there's nothing wrong with that. That could be a very helpful thing. So there's a bright side to even the drugs, okay?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like a prescription drug that helps with that kind of thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Or a doctor's prescribe, you mm-hmm. know, for that, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that you're a failure if you have to do that. But in general, what we're talking about are these two different types of darknesses.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, we have Joseph in a bad way. He's forgotten. The cupbearer forgot him, but it's not just the cupbearer that forgot him. It seems to him that Yahweh has forgotten him, and there is no hope. He's at the bottom of everything, and it's just then that God comes in a big way.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. As usual.
As usual. So there we have it. We had two podcasts on this chapter, a very important chapter in the structure of the whole story.
Good. Okay. Well, that's all great. Looking forward to the next one. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay. God bless you.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.